Additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Game time. Join Anthony Herron for the Game Plan. We'll discuss the top stories of the week in the world of sports and entertainment. And really, whatever else Big Ant feels like talking about. Now, here's your host, Anthony Herron. Get down, get down.
America, for the better part of the next hour, I am your voice. This is the Game Plan with Anthony Herron, coming to you live from the Mission Design Studio. Thank you for being here with me on a Tuesday evening. Of course, as always, the Game Plan is available on demand right here at voiceamerica.com, and you can also download us on iTunes. Getting into some current events to start out the show like I normally like to do. Reports just coming in that Dwayne Wade was spotted jaywalking on South Beach. There's also reports that LeBron James has recently been seen talking on his cell phone without a headset while driving, no less. Now, I'm just joking for anybody that's listening in, but that I'm giving a quick example of the overreaction that everyone is having to anything dealing with the Miami Heat. I mean, can we... I feel like I get into this pattern of constantly being the voice of reason. And, you know, on one hand, it's, of course, because I always think I'm right. But more often than not, I feel like as a society, we overreact to everything. I mean, if not everything, damn near everything. I'm assuming you've at least heard some snippets, and I'm not going to spend the entire show talking basketball. I mean, I got into the whole decision thing last week, and it was a huge sports story, and, you know, football was a little bit, you know, it was in a little bit of a lull as far as any football news going, so I felt like it fit last week's show. I'm not going to spend nearly the length of time this week talking about it, but it's really bugging me, and I think it ties into some football topics here as well. I'm just going to start off with this just for a moment, because I know people are paying attention to it. Everyone is paying attention to it. So you've probably seen some of the snippets where Dwayne Wade is basically being interviewed by some of the representative media, and it's basically he's making an attempt to just to display how the media is going to overblow and overreact to everything that the Heat do. And he's specifically talking about there's going to be some rough times where, you know, we're going to lose a couple of games in a row. Who knows? Two, maybe even three games in a row at some points. And you guys are going to act like the Twin Towers have come down again. And he makes a reference to 9/11. Now, I can understand people thinking that any mention of September 11th, that it's in poor taste. I get that. I may not agree with it, but I understand. And I think, you know, as a society, as a world, we could at least try to make the attempt to understand the other person's point of view at times, even if you disagree with it. I understand people who feel like that. But in him making this comment, in him making this statement about how it's just basketball, it's just going to be a very brief losing streak, we'll come back from it, our season's going to be fine, we're confident of that, but people are going to overreact. Just in him making that example of how overblown the coverage of and the reactions to the Heat are going to be next NBA season, the public reaction to him making that point is exactly what's displaying the point that he's trying to make. Now, again, he's mentioning 9/11. If you want to say that that's in poor taste, then you have every right to think that's in poor taste. But for people just to try and, in a way, crucify Dwayne Wade for making those statements, I believe it's completely overblown. I believe the coverage, as I went into on my last show, I believe the coverage of LeBron James's decision was basically a media creation, but now at this point, the public is on board with it. The Miami Heat are the biggest story going, so anything that surrounds that will have just the most minute laser microscope, with the air quotes, laser microscope put on it. So they overreacted D-Wade. And then, you know, within the same span of a couple of days, MJ makes a little quote about how he wouldn't have played with Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. And, of course, now at this point, now that, you know, Mike's removed from the game for a while and everyone's not oohing and aahing at everything he's doing on the court, now people are in much safer territory to, you know, be able to get at Michael Jordan a little bit too. So he's at this celebrity golf tournament, and Jordan, getting interviewed by NBC, he basically makes the point that he wouldn't have played with Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. Wasn't an urge that he had. He also referenced how it was a different time then. The environment in sports and media was different. The money was different. But him as a competitor, as an individual, it's just not something that ever occurred to him. Now, people have taken that to run with it and say that Michael Jordan is now saying that he didn't need the rest of his team to win titles. He just did it as an individual. Now, he's sitting there. He's one-on-one with a reporter being interviewed on NBC asking about his individual desires and whether or not he would have played, or whether or not, you know, what are his thoughts on the Miami Heat and how Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, and LeBron James have joined forces. And Jordan's reaction to that was, well, me personally, I wouldn't have played with Bird and Magic. I wanted to beat those guys. I wouldn't have played with, you know, I wanted to beat Patrick Ewing and Charles Barkley and Karl Malone. You know, luckily I was able to do that. He wasn't saying he didn't need Scottie Pippen or Horace Grant or John Paxson or Steve Kerr. He didn't go into all that because he doesn't need to list all the teammates that he had. But it's obvious that they were there. They were on the court. Steve Kerr and John Paxson hit game-winning shots. Scottie Pippen played game-winning defense on Magic that helped Michael get his 6 rings. That goes without saying at this point. But people are going to take anything with this story and twist it and try to make something, some kind of conflict out of it. And my father and I joke about this all the time because that's what people in the public eye, they bring about the additional coverage, but then with that coverage will come the spotlight of the conflict that the media wants to thrust upon it. It's a discussion that we have pretty frequently. But the way that I believe this also, you know, spins into some of the more prevalent football stories of the day is, both college and pro. A lot of interesting things happening right now, and the microscope on a lot of different individuals. When you're looking at the college game, I mean, most notably, Reggie Bush and USC, and there's several different storylines that are coming out of the happenings out in L.A. right now. So USC is going to change athletic directors. That's the first story that hit earlier in the day. But now not only are they going to change athletic directors, but within that same press conference, it's also come out now that apparently the school is going to give back Reggie Bush's Heisman Trophy. And apparently the Heisman Trophy committee, they never asked for this. They didn't want Bush's Heisman back, or at least they didn't request it at any point. But USC has decided that they need to find a way to divorce themselves from the current climate, the current situation they find themselves in, which is now being the poster child for all that ails college football. There's so much positive that goes with college athletics and, of course, the most popular sport in college athletics being college football. And part of what still allows that popularity to be there is that people want to hang on to some idea of the purity of that game, that these athletes are maintaining amateur status before they go on to, you know, the dark waters of the NFL, you know, being in the National Football League and the millions of dollars that go with that. But, of course, the other side of that coin that everyone knows about it. I mean, it can, you know, a coin can come up either side, and everyone pretty much knows what the two options are. The other side of this college football coin is that it's very well documented that college football makes billions, with a B, billions of dollars, and the athletes are really not truly financially compensated for it. So, you know, there is a growing crowd of folks that think college athletes should get paid in some way because of this. Now, as a former collegiate and professional athlete, now being in the broadcast world, I don't agree with that. I'll say this. I'm not comfortable yet with that idea. But again, I understand it. And it's been bandied about for years. I mean, even, you know, over a decade ago when I was still playing college football before I went into the professional ranks, the conversation certainly came up. But I'm, especially in retrospect now, looking back at me being a part of that group that wants to try to help athletes maintain that amateur status mentality, I think maybe try to find additional ways to compensate the universities and then intrinsically the athletes that are playing the sports at those universities without just saying we're going to give a paycheck to individual football players, because then it opens up a completely separate can of worms. But getting back to USC specifically, they have now become the poster child for that. And being in that L.A. climate, and you have O.J. Mayo, you have Reggie Bush being two very notable athletes that have come out of that school in recent years, and now they have become the symbols of the amateur athlete being paid under the table, finding agents at an early time and having additional compensation that should deem them ineligible. And so now the college football world is on high alert because of what's happened at USC, and now the Trojan institution has decided they're going to divorce themselves from Reggie Bush. I'm going to continue to get into this as we move on throughout the show. And, of course, some big storylines going on in the NFL as well. No first-round picks signed yet. Very surprising news when you really think about it and how that timeline has played out over the years. In my third segment at the half-hour mark, going to have Derek Rackley on the show. He's going to be one of the new college football analysts on the Big Ten Network, also going to be partnered with me on one of the studio shows coming up this fall. And we got a few format ideas. We got to figure out some things we're going to be tossing around a little bit, but I thought it'd be great to have Derek on the show. He's an old friend of mine, old teammate from the Atlanta Falcons, 8-year NFL career. And now, you know, he's been in the media business for a couple of years, but now the newest member of the Big Ten Network football analyst crew. So Derek's going to be on at the half-hour mark. Short timeout coming up right here, and believe me, if you can't tell, I'm fired up on a couple of these topics. So the phone lines are open. The email is open. We'll get those to you out of the next break. And I will be right back with the game plan.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Hey, football fans, are you ready for an intelligent discussion about the Buffalo Bills and the National Football League? Are you tired of listening to talk show hosts that have never played football? Instead of answering your questions, they prefer to listen to themselves. And when they don't like what you're saying, they just cut you off. Well, that won't happen on the Jeff Nixon Sports Report. Keep it clean, stay relatively calm and rational, and the discussion will flow well. Join Jeff Nixon Monday afternoons at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Network.
Do you feel the need for speed? Whatever your addiction, NASCAR, IndyCar, NHRA, Formula One, Grand Am, or even Lambo racing, Pit Pass USA has got you covered. Larry Henry here, the host of Pit Pass USA. I put my 30-plus years of being a motorsports broadcaster around the world to work each week to bring you not only the best guests, but also the most interesting guests in racing, while also never forgetting the local weekend warrior. Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry, your front row seat to the world of racing. Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Power Up Channel. Be there or get a DNF.
Each week, take a visit inside the locker room of your favorite sport with Dez Clark, Paul Fresh Clark, and Lester Scudder Davis as they bring you sportsmanlike conduct. As a current player, Dez Clark can bring you inside the sports world like nobody can. His co-hosts represent the fans of the sports world. With both points of view on the table, it becomes an engaging and entertaining program, to say the least. Sportsmanlike Conduct can be heard Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neill. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
To be a part of the game plan with Big Ant, please call in to the program at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to BigAntNow@live.com. Now, let's get back into the game plan. Here's Anthony Herron.
Get down, get down. You heard the omnipotent voice. Put out the phone number and the email, but just in case you didn't catch it, the LS4 hotline is 888-346-9144. That is 888-346-9144. LS4A.com is the website, Life Success for Athletes. Also, email me, BigAntNow@live.com, BIGANTNOW @live.com. That is the Quaker Homes inbox. And trying to stick with the football topics today, but when you look at the landscape of sports and the microscope that athletes find themselves under and the scrutiny that comes with it, but then the reaction that follows some of these events, I believe in a way it all ties in together. So I started off the opening segment just talking about some of the coverage of the Miami Heat, of the decision, of statements by Dwayne Wade, and then statements about the situation by Michael Jordan, and everything that comes out of that. But what is, deserved is some of these football storylines that are coming out and people reacting to, most specifically, USC. And I was talking about how now it appears that University of Southern California has decided they will return Reggie Bush's Heisman Trophy that he won back in 2005. I'm not going to say they don't want it anymore. They most certainly want it, but as I was going into before the break, they are now trying to divorce themselves from being the poster child of this new, I shouldn't call it new, but of this current climate in college athletics. How it's perceived that USC is one of the main violators where you're talking about amateur athletes being given benefits that are supposed to be disallowed by the NCAA. And, of course, as I mentioned, Reggie Bush, O.J. Mayo being two of the leading violators, as it would seem, along those lines. But having two very notable college stars go on to being professional stars is, of course, a big part of the story of why USC has been at the forefront of this story. But another individual that's not a two-guard, not a star Heisman Trophy-winning running back, but it's now come out that Marquise Pouncey and the University of Florida are now under investigation for Marquise Pouncey, who is one of the Pouncey twins that was, you know, one of the top interior lines in the country last year, a couple of offensive linemen from Florida. Marquise came out into the NFL draft this past season, drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was a center in college. We'll see whether he plays center or guard in the NFL. But reports are saying that apparently there was an anonymous report issued to the NCAA, and so now that's led to an investigation. The claim is that $100,000 was given to Marquise Pouncey leading in to Florida's bowl game against Cincinnati last year. And this was after they lost to Alabama in the SEC championship game, but before their Sugar Bowl win over Cincinnati. Now, so far it sounds like the Pouncey family they're going along with the investigation. They're giving up phone records. They're giving up you know, bank statements, different things like that, just showing, hey, we're a clean slate. You know, we're an open book. Whatever you need to look at, look at it. We do not know why these reports, why these erroneous reports are coming out, and they're claiming that it's untrue. Now, some of the additional reports are that Marquise and his brother Mike Pouncey have been seen, or had been seen, past tense, driving around campus in lavish SUVs, having nice jewelry on, things like that. And how I'm wanting to tie this in, and you know, we'll see what comes out of the investigation, but how I'm also tying this in to the microscope of athletes is people will see things and perceive what they want to perceive is the point I want to make about that. Even back when I was in college at the University of Iowa, back in the 90s, there would be people who would make statements, and they would, you know, they would say it with a smirk to diffuse it a bit, but folks would be dead serious. If they would see a football player or a basketball player, the player themselves or a family member driving a nice vehicle, or if I had gotten a new leather jacket over Christmas break from my parents, and so I'm wearing my new leather jacket around campus, or a certain member of the basketball team I was friends with, he's driving a nice SUV, like his, I believe he was a junior at the time, I'm going to leave the guy's name out of it, but, and people would see moments like this, and they would make, you know, they would try to, it would come off as a joke that they're making, but you can tell the individual's dead serious in their belief of what they're seeing. Oh, well, you know what? What booster got that jacket for you? Well, how come my parents couldn't have just given me a leather jacket? My parents worked hard. You know, we were never a rich family by any stretch, but they worked hard enough, multiple jobs, all crazy hours, commuting back and forth after they moved up to the suburbs, commuting back and forth to Chicago. They made enough money to get me a leather jacket for Christmas, but the fact that I was a starting football player at the University of Iowa, seen around campus with some kind of item that was nice and new, then the automatic perception is, well, who got that for this football player? What rule was violated? Same thing with the basketball player driving an SUV. Now, I didn't have a car. I didn't have a vehicle at all on campus, be honest with you. Never really had a big desire to have one until I was done with school. I was this type of guy I was. I don't know why. Won't go down that road as far as trying to explain it. I'm just a little different. But basketball player gets an SUV, and there was really grumblings around campus. And this guy wasn't even a great player. You know, he started a few games here and there in what was a slightly above-average Iowa basketball program at that time. They had transitioned from Dr. Tom Davis to Steve Alford being the coach. But basketball player, University of Iowa, he's got an SUV. And this isn't a guy that's going to go on to play in the NBA. There's no, you know, no qualms about that. He's not an NBA talent. He's just a guy, you know, decent Big Ten player. Not even, you know, not even a consistent starter. But he's got a new SUV, so folks are assuming that there must have been something illegal that took place. And this is the danger of these kinds of perceptions, because that trails that athlete around campus. And so just to be seen with a nice item as a college athlete, people are going to paint that picture however they choose to paint it. Now, I'm certainly not trying to make the case that all college athletes are wrongly accused, because there's certainly plenty of evidence that comes out that proves a lot of these kids are in the wrong. But the bigger issue to me is, how do we stop that problem? And now that the NCAA, they're really cranking up some of the investigations that are taking place, now that the search is on, now that the hunt, you know, people are starting to smell a little bit of blood, and there's things at North Carolina, and now some storylines in South Carolina with athletes coming out with plane tickets and hanging out in South Beach and different things, there's going to be some more stories that come out of this. There's probably going to be some more sanctions that get handed down, because now the climate has become where agents, you know, these unnamed sources, this is just other agents turning in agents for doing illegal things, which I'm completely fine with. You want to blow the whistle on somebody who's cheating, someone who's breaking the rules, I think go ahead and do it. I don't have a problem with that. But it's turning into a climate now where everyone is automatically being assumed of being in the wrong, of breaking rules that are in place. And it's unfortunate, I believe even borderline dangerous, because now what you're hearing is people trying to figure out, well, what can we do to the athletes? Because now Reggie Bush's Heisman Trophy has been taken away, but then the perception is, well, does that really hurt Reggie Bush? Or the fact that USC's national title is supposedly stripped, what does that really do to Reggie Bush? If something happens to the University of Florida in 2012, once they go through a full investigation and both the Pouncey twins are in the NFL making good money, what does that really do to the Pouncey twins at that point? So how do we get the athletes? And that's the part about this that gets so dangerous, because the athletes are the focal points of these investigations. The athletes, these young men, these teenagers, or these young men in their early 20s, they're the ones that everyone pays attention to. They're the guys that we see on the field. They're the guys that we see on the television who go on the professional ranks, and they're in TV commercials, and we know they're making millions, and we're looking at that. And that's what everyone sees, because it's big and it's flashy, and that's what people pay attention to. And so now people are gravitating to, how do we punish the athletes? The athletes are in the wrong. Find a way to sanction them. I'm okay with that. But do not ignore the agents. Do not ignore the financial advisors. Do not ignore the university officials who allow the activities to happen. If you're going to try to find a way to punish the 19-year-old kid who has all these things thrown at him, you damn sure better find a way to punish the adult who allowed it to happen. And the people with all the money who are throwing all these lavish ideas and these big expectations and the big gifts that go along with that on these athletes, if you're going to talk about jail time, which now some people in the media are starting to throw that around, well, should there be some kind of law in place where now you can jail the athletes for this? That is the most ridiculous. Well, I'm not going to say that. See, now I'm speaking in big platitudes. It's not the most ridiculous notion I've ever heard, but it's certainly one of them. You're going to put a 19, 20-year-old kid in jail because of an NCAA violation where someone else bought him a car, where someone else gave him money because of what he's done on the field. The kid is wrong, but the person giving him these gifts is 10 times as wrong as what that kid is. You don't talk about putting a kid in jail for that. You talk about banning the agent from ever representing anyone in the NFL, and if anything, maybe you put that guy in jail. But you don't put a teenager or someone in their early 20s in jail, which stains them for the rest of their lives because of something like that. Reggie Bush losing his Heisman, does it hurt his bank account? No. But it certainly affects the way he's perceived back at USC. Maybe you find a way to do something a little more to these athletes, but don't talk about jail time. It's just plain stupid. So, okay, pedestal out of the way. Going to have a little bit of fun coming up in my next segment, because Mr. Derek Rackley will be joining me on the LS4 hotline. Going to talk a little bit of college football. Going to get into that a little bit too, but especially some Big Ten football. One of the new analysts coming up this fall on the Big Ten Network. He'll be calling games, and he will also have the pleasure of working with me on a studio show as we get the season going. So looking forward to talking to Rack coming up here in the next segment. Phone lines are going to be closed, but I'll try to get a couple of your emails in, because I'm getting a few here to the Quaker Homes inbox. Short timeout, and then we'll be right back with Mr. Derek Rackley on the Game Plan.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at the
shot. Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Join G. Cobb in the house every week on the Voice America Sports Channel. This show takes you inside the world of sports from one who knows. Gary Cobb is an 11-year NFL veteran who has almost 20 years in sports radio and television. From the locker room to the clubhouse, we'll talk on the inside with the newsmakers on the sports scene. It's always exciting and full of energy. G. Cobb in the house with Gary Cobb and co-host Micah Warren is broadcast live every Friday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Spin It with Chuck Foreman has a spin on so much that's going on, it will be hard to fit it all into the promo. We'll talk about the weekend games, what to look forward to, hot topics in the news. Spin It Old School, which gives a back-in-the-day approach from Chuck. A no-spin zone where Chuck gives an unbiased opinion and lets you do the same. Chuck will be taking us around town and around the world with news, happenings, and more. It's football, news, and happenings. Tune in for Spin It with Chuck Foreman, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Super Bowl champ Lionel Dalton is taking to the internet airwaves with his own brand of sports talk. You'll go inside the mind of the players and find out if blacklisting really happens, what their thoughts are on training camps, where the former NFL players are now, and why being drafted by the wrong NFL team can kill a promising player's career. Lionel will also cover what's up with the Baltimore Ravens. Tune in to Sports Talk with Lionel Dalton live every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
To be a part of the game plan with Big Ant, please call in to the program at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to bigantnow@live.com. Now, let's get back into the game plan. Here's Anthony Herron.
We are, of course, back at the game plan. Let me get a couple of quick emails in here. Quaker Homes inbox, bigantnow@live.com, BIGANTNOW at live.com. Got one email here, and I must have, I think I touched a chord with a couple of people, which is completely fine by me. Rich in Joliet, great to have listeners up in the Chicago area tuning in. Joliet Rich says, preach, Big Ant. And he actually had it in capital letters, so I'll go ahead and enunciate that a bit. Preach, Big Ant. People want to be on the backs of athletes, and I'll attempt to correct Rich's grammar a bit if I can here. No offense, Rich. I'm an English major. Preach, Big Ant. People want to be on the backs of athletes all the time, but not realizing that there's so many other folks who try to make sure I'm quoting Rich properly if I'm going to change around a little bit of his grammar. So many other folks who play a role in the downfall of athletes. That's basically, I think, what you're trying to get across there, Rich. You kind of rambled on for a little while there. But appreciate the email. Thank you very much. And also Quad City Stacy writing in again. Big Ant, as always, love the show, and I couldn't agree more. Folks need to not only pay attention to the problem, but also pay attention to the solution. If they want to come down on the athletes for these sanctions, then they need to make sure they pay attention to the folks helping them break rules. Quad City, thank you. Stacy, thank you very much. All right. Been plugging him throughout the show. Told you my guest on the LS4 hotline was one of the newest analysts coming onto the Big Ten Network stage this fall. He's been in the media business for a few years, but also had a long NFL career, mainly with the Atlanta Falcons. He's worked in the media in the Atlanta area in those recent years getting into the business. But before he did any of that, he was a Minnesota Golden Gopher, also a good friend of mine, Mr. Derek Rackley, joins me on the game plan. Rack, appreciate you being here.
Not a problem, man. You've been moving the meter so far during this show, or what?
I'm trying to, man. I'm trying to. They got me a little bit fired up because, when folks are, like I was saying earlier, athletes are in the wrong when you break rules and sanctions come down on the universities. You got to hold them accountable. But there's been some people in the media throwing out things like, maybe we should put these kids in jail and crazy stuff like that. I just think people need to slow up and realize the types of things they're talking about and who the major part of the problem is. That's my take on it. What do you think?
Yeah, unfortunately, it seems like some of this stuff is getting a little bit out of hand. It seems like every other week we turn on the television or look on the internet and some type of program is either self-reporting a violation or the NCAA is probing into something. I don't know what the fix is because, you know, and in this day and age, I would hate to be a collegiate coach because finding a way to one-up your competition when it comes to landing the recruits, I would imagine has to be a constant battle, trying to find ways to separate yourselves because when you get into the, you know, you're talking to the Ohio States, the Penn States, the Alabamas, the Floridas, the USCs, the Oregons. I mean, you're talking about premier programs across the country. They're going to get great football in all those locations. They're probably going to get great academics in all of them. So what's going to be the difference maker in order to put one kid at this school versus the other? That's the job on these coaches. And unfortunately, we're seeing there's been some outside influences that's probably helping some of these kids make the decision, and it's not the right way.
And you've been a hard-working man throughout the day here, and you may or may not have even heard. Just recently came out here in the past, the past hour or so, the reports are now hitting that USC is kind of severing ties with Reggie Bush, and he's having to, well, not he, but the university is going to return his Heisman Trophy. And I get that, and I'm fine with it. And I believe, you know, when these situations happen where, you know, if there's sanctions that are handed down while a kid is still in school, if violations are made, or that transition from college to the professional ranks, if you get kids getting gifts from agents and things like that, then, yeah, you got to find a way. And like you said, there's no easy answer to it. So you sanction the player, and if the university has to lose games, and the hammer got thrown down big on USC, of course, but find a way to sanction the agents as well. And how do you go about, you know, stripping them? And as you know better than anyone, you've worked with the player development department, you've been a player rep in the league, and you can find a way to maybe stop the agents from getting certified year after year if they've been involved in some wrongdoing or something along those lines. And I think if you can maybe cut the snake off at the head at that end, I mean, the kids can't go out and fund themselves. I mean, it's the agents that are giving these kids these illegal gifts and the boosters giving these kids these illegal gifts in college. And I believe that's the end of it that you start at.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you would hope to think that these kids are going to realize that, listen, if this guy's coming to you and he's offering you $100,000, it's probably not the smart thing to do to take it. Although, in light of all the situations that might be faced in front of you, it might be a very attractive thing, but you'd like to think that the kids got to know that this is not going to be an acceptable deal. Now, I agree with what you're saying. When you talk about the agents, I mean, what kind of boggles me is that the NCAA has got such investigative powers and abilities to where they can dive into a situation, whether it be at USC or at Alabama or wherever it might be, to get down to the nitty-gritty and find all the details that they need. But for some reason, if there's a guy that is so, quote-unquote affiliated with an agent, we can't figure out who he's affiliated with. I mean, does that not sound a little bit off base? I mean, we've got some of the brightest minds in America now, and this guy that is supposedly an unknown person, but we know he's affiliated with somebody. He's not just giving $100,000 out of his pocket. How come we can't find out who that agency is? And yes, they're the ones that need to be reprimanded because it's, like you said, Ant, the university is getting blasted, the players are getting brought down far after they're being away from their college careers, i.e. Reggie Bush, O.J. Mayo, but yet the agents are the ones that it's responsible for it, and they're not, nothing's happening to those guys. Something's definitely got to happen there.
It sounds like we agree on that, and we're going to have a lot of opportunity to agree, to disagree, to debate coming up this fall as you're getting into the Big Ten Network schedule coming up this year. Like I've been telling the folks throughout the show here, you've done plenty of media work in the Atlanta area and around the Southeast region, but you got your Big Ten roots from your days with Minnesota, with the Gophers, and now tell me a little bit, so what are you anticipating? What are you excited about in getting to both call games and work in the studio for the Big Ten Network coming up this fall?
Well, I'm excited for a number of reasons. Of course, you mentioned I played at Minnesota. I was born and raised up there. I spent the first 22 years of my life up there. So that was basically all I knew about collegiate football was Big Ten. And I'll tell you a quick story. When I came into the NFL, I tried to argue for probably about my first year or two that the Big Ten was still the most competitive conference in the country. And then I ended up down in SEC country, and I don't know, the football in the SEC and the athletes that they put out might be just a hair better than the Big Ten. But I've always wanted to get back into the Big Ten Conference because I love that style of play. I'm an old school person at heart when it comes to running game first. Running game and stopping the run is the way to win and lose football games. And that is basically what you get up in the Big Ten. Most teams are still concentrated on running the football, especially you get teams like Wisconsin. I cannot wait to see Wisconsin with that duo of running backs in their backfield. And then just some good old-fashioned defense. And that's one of the things that I'm just really looking forward to. Again, being able to see my alma mater play a little bit, call a game in their stadium, which I'm slated to for the second week of the season. And like you said, just kind of get back to my roots. So it's and then you throw in the addition to of Nebraska, and it's going to be some exciting couple of years going on at Big Ten Network.
And you mentioned the new stadium there in Minnesota. And I got to call a couple of Minnesota games when I first started with the Big Ten Network back in 2008, but those were at the old Metrodome. And for me, it was just never a great college football atmosphere. As much as just folks were so rabid about the Vikings in that building, it just seemed like the Gophers never really, unless it was one of the main rivals, like, you know, if we would come there and Iowa would bring a bunch of fans with them, then you get a great atmosphere. But for whatever reason, the college support in that building never really caught hold, but now being outdoors in TCF Bank Stadium, it really seems like there's a new vibe. There's a new energy, folks being outdoors, being able to tailgate, being able to anticipate what the Gophers are doing on the field coming up that day. And so that I'm excited for you to get to be there and kind of see what's happening there, too. I haven't been to TCF Bank myself yet because this last fall I didn't call any Gopher games at TCF Bank. But as far as the Minnesota program, just looking at that specifically as a Gopher guy that you are, what do you think of Tim Brewster, of, you know, Matt Weber at quarterback? What direction do you see them heading in as a program?
Well, I think I guess the jury's still a little bit out. I would like to tell you that a lot of my former teammates, we talked, you know, when Brewster got hired, and I think a lot of guys were, you know, they were a little bit worried about how a guy that, you know, with very minimal head coaching experience was going to fare up in the Big Ten. And but, you know, when he first came in, he was doing all the right things as far as keeping the alumni around and wanting to be a part of the program. But you and I know, Ann, at the end of the day, even though it's college football, it's still a business, and it's all about W's. And unfortunately, they just haven't been getting the W's that I think that university wants. I mean, just like anything else, they want to be in the top of that conference and really turn football around for Minnesota at the collegiate level, and that's going to happen with W's. And yes, they got to a bowl game last year, but you know, we're talking 6-6 in Iowa State, and they lost the game, so they ended up with a losing record. In my opinion, they need to get back into that, you know, 7-win, 8-win season, and that's going to be the difference for them to get the recruits. It's a hard thing to recruit in Minnesota for a number of reasons. You've got the weather, trying to bring recruits up to Minnesota in January and February and say, look at our glorious campus that happens to be covered with a foot and a half of snow. You're not going to get the blue chip athletes out of Florida to sign off on that one. But the way that I contrast that is go just about 4 hours down the road in either direction, whether it's Iowa City or down in Madison, and they're getting the recruits. Mm. They're getting the recruits and they're developing the players, I think, are the two biggest things. But why are they getting the recruits? Is because they're establishing that precedent for winning ball games. And that's the bottom line. Guys want to go somewhere where they're going to win. They'll look past the weather if they know that they're going to be on a team that every given year is going to win 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 games and put themselves in position to be playing in January. That's where the kids want to go these days. Although they're only 18 years old, they still can look forward to that.
And very lastly, Rack, before I let you go, you mentioned Nebraska. Now, you know, eventually going to be the newest member of the Big Ten coming in 2011. What are your thoughts on that, on the whole conference expansion theme that was going on there and the mega conferences were talked about for a moment, and then it just seemed to kind of settle in where the Big Ten went to 12, Big 12 went to 10, and of course, Big Ten going to 12 included Nebraska, as you mentioned a moment ago. What are your thoughts on specifically the Big Ten and maybe just the whole conference expansion thing that took place a couple of months ago?
Well, first of all, I love the addition of Nebraska to the Big Ten. Second of all, I don't think we're done with the movements. I think we're done for this year, but I still definitely believe that we're going to start gravitating more towards these super conferences. And you saw what happened last year with the Pac-10 just a couple of months ago. They were trying to load up real quick, and you had a couple of teams that maybe just weren't quite ready to do it. But yet they expanded, and the Big Ten got to 12. So now they've got that first step in the championship game.
But I still think that there's going to be some potential for a Missouri down the road, for a potentially Notre Dame down the road. And I just think that at the end of the day, the more excitement that you can generate around your league, meaning in addition to the Big Ten Network, you're able to do a whole lot more sponsorship. And, again, just all that generation of interest around the league, the championship game, I just think is going to be phenomenal for the conference. And, you know, Barry Alvarez had mentioned something a few months back about how the Big Ten was basically non-existent when you talk about December in the championship game play, and he said it perfectly. The Big Ten is such a powerful conference, they need to be in that December 5, December 12th weekend playing a championship game, and now it looks like we're going to have that in 2011. But for some reason, I still don't think we're done yet. I still think the Big Ten, in addition to the SEC and the Pac-10, and we'll see what ends up happening with the Big 12, or I guess you call it the Big Ten right now. And again, we already have a Big Ten. I still think there's going to be some more moves coming down the road. Whether I don't know if it's all going to be in 2011, but there'll still be some more shifting going on, in my opinion.
Well, certainly we'd like to welcome you on the air here to the Big Ten Network family. Looking forward to, I guess I'm not going to be able to really hear you call games. Well, you know what? Opening night.
That's going to
be able to hear you call a game there Thursday night, the first night of the Big Ten Network schedule, September 2nd. Derek Rackley will be calling the Indiana game. And then you said week two, going to be calling Minnesota.
Yep,
week three,
Minnesota,
be calling
South
Indiana again.
Minnesota,
getting the early portion of that schedule out.
Yep.
But it should be exciting. And, of course, we'll be working together in the studio this fall also. We'll get some more information out about that moving forward. But for today, thank you very much for coming on the Game Plan with me, Rack.
You got it, Ant. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, sir. That was Derek Rackley, newest member of the Big Ten Network family. And we'll be sparring a bit in the studio coming up this fall. Hardworking man at all times. I don't know. Good addition. You know, it'll help me step my game up a bit, too, getting some more depth, more talent at the Big Ten Network. That's always good. All right, we got one last timeout coming up here. Come back with a couple of shameless plugs and talk a little bit of NFL. I've been ranting about college so far. But one last timeout here, a couple more of your emails on the Game Plan.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Are you ready for a fresh, candid, and entertaining look at sports? It's time for a radio show that doesn't tackle sports like everyone else. Join former NFL player Nick Murphy for Murphy's Law. Hear it directly from your favorite pro and collegiate athletes, coaches, and media personalities as they dissect what's going on in the world of sports. It's sports, entertainment, and fun, and it's all part of Murphy's Law. Tune in Friday afternoons at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams, Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Never be satisfied. Let that be a lesson you take away from Double Time with Double D, featuring businessman and former NFL star Dave Duerson. We'll talk about the NFL with special focuses on the game itself, and Double D will take your calls and answer your emails live on the show. It's not Football 101, but rather an in-depth look in the locker room, on the field, away from the field, and opening up the mind of the player. The program will also feature positive messages, so tune in to Double Time with Double D, Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball.
With 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
be a part of the game plan with Big Ant, please call in to the program at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to BigAntNow@live.com. Now, let's get back into the game plan. Here's Anthony Herron.
Now, let me make sure, before I forget to do so, because I was going to do it earlier in the show, thank you. I mentioned on last week's show that my wife and I are actually going to be heading over to Spain in a couple of weeks. We're going to be over there for about the first week and a half of August. It's going to be our first chance to really just get away and take a vacation together for a couple of years. I've been so busy between, you know, my time coaching and then also, you know, my time broadcasting with the Big Ten Network and Versus and radio and everything else, and now not coaching, but now doing these arena games on the NFL Network this part of the year, and this will literally flow right into my Big Ten schedule, where the championship game for the Arena Football League is going to be on August 20th. That will be Arena Bowl 24, and so once that happens, then Arena Bowl 23, and once that happens, the next week I start right up with the Big Ten Network. And so we decided to force feed a vacation trip in, and so we're heading over to Spain. I'm going to miss the first playoff broadcast on the NFL Network, but I'll finish out the regular season here these last couple of weeks, and then I'll do the semifinals and the championship game from there. But once I mentioned that last week, I got a couple of emails from some folks telling me about Barcelona, because we're going to be in Barcelona the majority of the time. It's been a few days in Sitges, a little island community south of Barcelona, and I had no idea I had so many world travelers listening to my show, but I got some emails with folks telling me some tips about Barcelona and different places to go and talking to me about these, you know, the Sagrada Familia and La Pedrera and Gaudi, you know, the artist that's designed some of these crazy buildings in the area and restaurants and whatnot, so really appreciate that. So I guess I'll just put it out as a request. If anyone else has some good information, if anyone has traveled to Barcelona or Sitges or the surrounding areas there, you can certainly use the Quaker Homes inbox for emails about that as well. BigAntNow@live.com, BigAntNow at live.com. Had the pleasure of being joined by Derek Rackley, former teammate, and now I guess we'll be teammates again. He's going to be a co-worker of mine now over at the Big Ten Network. And as far as the shameless plugs go, I went into to what his game schedule is going to be a little bit. So his opener, he's going to be one of the Thursday night broadcasts, the very first night of the college football season. Townsend at Indiana is going to be the game that he's going to call with Matt Devlin. I've gotten to work with Matt Devlin over the years, too. Very, very talented guy. So he's going to really love working with Matt. Second week, they've got South Dakota at Minnesota. And then also in the third week, Derek Rackley and Matt Devlin are going to have Indiana at Western Kentucky. A little surprising matchup there where Indiana's actually going to be on the road playing against a MAC foe. But put out Rack's schedule. I might as well put out mine, too, get a little shameless plug in. Eastern Illinois at Iowa. It's going to be my third consecutive year calling the season opener for the Hawkeyes, getting to head back to Iowa City, calling the game at Kinnick Stadium. It was disconcerting the very first time I did it back in 2008. I'd never been in the booth for a broadcast before, and you know, to have done that at Kinnick Stadium, that was a big deal, and I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. And then last season, of course, the UNI at Iowa game, where the Panthers, the football championship subdivision team, the 1AA team, they almost upset the Hawkeyes in Iowa City. Iowa had to block two field goals at the end of the game. I called that game with Tom Wormy, had a lot of fun there. And now this year, I'm going to be working with my broadcast partner. It's going to be a guy named Tom Hart. He's been the main announcer, the main play-by-play voice for CBS College Sports over the last couple of years. And he and I are going to be, you know, partnered. We're going to be duoed. We're going to be chummy. This year I'm going to see him about as much as I'm going to see my wife this coming fall. So Tom's going to be my broadcast partner this year. That's our opener, Eastern Illinois at Iowa, September 4th, a noon Eastern kickoff. I'll certainly plug that again before we get to that game. And this Friday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. I normally don't mention Pacific time, but going to be out in Spokane, Washington, Friday night, NFL Network, Arena Football Friday. Best matchup of the weekend, if you ask me. The Spokane Shock, in their raucous environment out there in Spokane, are going to be hosting the Chicago Rush. Should be a fun game. It's definitely going to be a great atmosphere. It's actually returning to the scene of the crime for me, because that's where I went on the road and won my only championship I've ever won at any level. Never got one as a player, but in my first year as a coach, the Tennessee Valley Vipers, we went into Spokane and beat the Shock for the Arena Cup Championship. It's going to be a fun Friday night for me. It's going to take a long time to fly out there from Alabama, though, but I'm certainly looking forward to it. That is this week's broadcast. And since I mentioned that, we're bringing this show to an end. That is this week's broadcast of The Game Plan as well. Again, thank you very much to Quad City Stacy. Appreciations and salutations to Mr. Derek Rackley. And, of course, Rich in Joliet for your email as well. The ones I didn't get to on the air, I will respond to those once I get off the air. And I will be back again with the show next Tuesday. And there's going to be a little hiatus in The Game Plan. So make sure you do not miss next Tuesday's show, because we are coming up on training camp time. Training camps are going to be open in the NFL. Chris Johnson has been signed by the Titans. He's going to be there. We'll see how many first-round picks are going to be under contract by the time we come back on the air next Tuesday. So, again, congratulations, appreciations, and salutations to all guests, all emailers, and all who are within earshot of The Game Plan. We'll be back same time next week. Keep doing your thing, America. Just do it better.
That's all we have time for this week. Join Anthony Big Ant Heron again next week for another edition of The Game Plan. Tune in Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.